something great, the whites, into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now, blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead, Emily King, is at my side. Hey, sweetheart.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Is this cool or what?
This is amazing. I haven't been down here yet.
No. Bitter and Twisted.
Yep.
We're going to definitely have to ask these guys where they came up with that name.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm thinking someone was pissed off and a little wasted.
Could go a lot of different ways
but
with this
you
name
never
for
know.
A business.
Oh, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that because I love dictionary.com and its sister ship, thesaurus.com. So I took bitter and got all the synonyms for that, and then I took twisted and got all the synonyms for that. So we're going to play a word game and see what kind of funky little new name we can come up for this little joint.
Looking forward to that.
Right down here, 1 West Jefferson Street in downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Surprisingly easy to get to. I was a little freaked out about going downtown. I haven't been down here in a really long time, and not too hard. Well, there's lots of parking.
It's all new, which is what we love. We're seeing the revitalization of an area that...
Or my favorite word, renaissance.
Was that one of your
the
favorite
The Renaissance
words?
Of Phoenix. Well, we discussed it with Glendale. It's
yeah, we did.
Six.
We did. Yeah. And, well, Gilbert and Chandler are experiencing an explosion because they're not really renaissancing.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it?
Just population explosion. Yeah, I mean, they're not. I don't know. Downtown Gilbert, that'll be another show. But
yeah, well, okay, and we're going to head over there. And did you realize that this building used to once house the headquarters for Prohibition in the state of Arizona?
That's fantastically ironic.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it. And I feel actually it's a really, really cool building. I can't believe there are a bunch of, you know, governmental bureaucrats in here.
Yep.
Punching numbers, looking for people.
And now it's,
you know,
thirsty businessmen and hipsters.
Thirsty businessmen and hipsters. Yep. I feel like I'm kind of breaking the law. Like there's little, like I'm a little prohibited, which doesn't happen very often to me. But it's like the ghosts of abstinence are shaking their heads and like know all of my past transgressions. They're hiding around the corner, like when you're going to go to the bathroom or something. Don't drink that. Okay, so I need to talk about some places that I've been up in Flagstaff.
Do tell.
Okay, so I've been going up there a lot
because
it's really fun. And there's a chef friend of mine who works for a country club, Forest Highlands Golf and Country Club. And he's all into, like, you know, alternative foods.
Uh-huh.
So we went, like, to an alpaca farm.
What? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and I got to pet and feed and herd alpacas.
That's awesome.
I know, and it's so weird because they only have teeth on the bottom and they stick out, so they look like, you know, someone from the Appalachians. Sorry.
Or a lot of seniors there, that I used to work with, yeah.
But they're cute as hell, and their eyes are so huge. And my friend Keith, I'm like, aren't you going to feed him? And he goes, no, I can't feed something that I might eat. So they're an alternative source of protein. And I wonder if Bob knows anything about that.
Like?
Well, ask him. I don't know. We didn't get to eat them.
You
they
just
were
eat
all
it and
alive.
You're like, alpaca. I know it.
Yeah.
It's definitely alpaca.
Ooh, it tastes like alpaca. But they weigh like they weigh out fully dressed, you know, or not dressed yet at 150 pounds. So they're not a very big animal.
Yeah, that's like a small man. Like a very small
very
man.
Very small man.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got to see some alpacas. We went to this all these different produce farms and stuff. And this one we went to, I can't remember the name of it, and I feel really bad. But the proprietor and owner looked and talked and sounded like John Denver.
Wow.
Except he was completely gray, and he had a really, really long ponytail.
Did you ask him to play any music? Or
no, he was extremely interesting, though. And so we went around the farm, and we got to taste all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's like 59 years old, and in run his 2 6-year-old twins.
Okay.
Serious. Go, dude.
Good for him.
Yeah, so we're
kind
of looking around. And what do you call those growlers? You know, you make beer with, and we were in the warehouse. And so Keith's like, hey, man, do you have any beer? And he goes, no, but I have some moonshine. He did his own infused moonshine. I don't know if he's distilling. That's why I don't remember his name and where he lives.
Did it taste faintly of alpaca?
No, but they were close. You could have gotten that across. He made his own apple, and then I think the other one was peach.
Cool.
But he actually had the jug, you know, that you hook through your finger and flip over backwards over your arm and tip up like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, we had a great time. Brought it, he goes, hey, and he was just so fun and engaging. He's like, hey, I've got some chips and some hot sauce. Do you guys want to have that and some more moonshine? And we're like, yeah, I don't know. That'd be great.
You wanted to make a day of it, Heidi.
We did.
You got to take advantage of it. I heard you went shit shopping, too.
I did. We did go shit shopping. Yeah, good. So we're driving down the road. We're going to go to Tres Hermanas, which is a cattle ranch over in Cottonwood. And he's looking for compost for his garden outside the thing. And he sees this horse boarding place. Flips around, pulls in, goes down the drive and says, hey, can you sell me some of your horse crap?
Oh, I've done that more than once.
Yeah. So I'm just like, well, as long as you open the door for me, I'm still pretty good with this. So he got himself hooked up with like a half a ton of horse shit.
Excellent.
And composted. And then we went out to Tres Hermanas, got to see the cattle. Some of them were about ready to pop with a new baby. So it was just like, you know, home sweet home for me. And I loved it. And yeah, it's really, I love it up there.
I love it, too. I'm going up this weekend. And
are you? I'm supposed to go with you, aren't I?
Yep. You're going to go?
I am going to go.
You just don't know it yet?
Okay. Well, on Saturday, actually, we're supposed to go see some Mangalitsa pigs.
What's that?
It looks like a Shetland pony with really, really long hair.
Okay.
And they are native to, I want to say, Finland. And so they've just got this big coat of hair. They're the cutest things, and apparently they have really high fat content. I didn't keep the brochure, so I'm not sure, but we're going to go
look
at that.
It's like a Shetland pony, except a pig.
But it's a pig.
Is it very, very large?
It's a swine. No, they're not very, very large, no. And it's called AZ Fine Swine.
AZ Fine Swine.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
Page Springs, drank a bunch of wine, went to the Tinderbox, which was phenomenal. Hopefully we get to interview those guys. Right down there in old, you know, Flagstaff Central. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was fantastic. Love it.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to buy a ranch up there.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll get some real estate as well. And we'll build a studio with egg cartons and...
Perfect. Wine crates?
We're insanely rich, so...
Yeah, because that's going to happen. So anyway, everything is fun. And how are you? How's the job going over there in Mesa?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah. Found, as we've discussed previously, Mesa has a really bad cat problem. And I will continue to talk about that every show. Today, our maintenance department found some kittens. So I spent... It was actually a fantastic hump day. Spent some time just... holding kittens that were screaming.
Well, that doesn't suck.
Yeah, it was
that
nice.
Bad.
One of them had a little mangled leg, though, so yeah, I called him Tiny Tim.
God.
I hope he finds a nice family.
I wish I could segue into that, but I can't. Okay, so we are going to speak with Executive Chef Bob Tam, and we're also going to speak with Zach O'Hare. Yes? I got it right, and he spells it fun, too. And, okay, so I did a Facebook thing. And it's like, what is your alcohol combination? So considering that Ross Simon, who is mixologist magician here, just won like some sort of another freaking award, I'm like, oh, this will be kind of fun. So my alcohol combination, so you're thinking like, you know, pina colada, you got a couple of boozes in there. Mine was wine and scotch.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do you make wine and scotch? I mean, you can mix it after, so you have your wine, and then that doesn't cut it, and you really want to get lit, so you pull out the scotch, but not together.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's a lot.
Anything's possible.
There we go. There's Zach. Cool. I love it when they just bounce in. Well, what is this I'm drinking? The Missionary Downfall?
Yes, you are drinking the Missionary Downfall. So this drink actually, they say...
Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hello. So this drink, they actually say, dates back to about the 1930s. Don the Beachcomber supposedly originally brought this recipe to the mainstream.
Don the Beachcomber?
That is correct. He is considered the father of tiki drinks. Gentleman, an adventurer. He wandered around the world. A lot of Polynesian influence in...
I'll bet.
Yeah, in his life. And he actually brought it back to the States, opened up a place called Don the Beachcomber's. That's not actually his original name, but in the 1930s, 1933, I believe. So this
after Prohibition was lifted.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Everybody's partying.
He was a little bit of a bootlegger before that, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Anyways, he had a huge influence on what they call the tiki cocktail culture because he brought a lot of the Caribbean and Polynesian influence into what he was doing. a lot of really extensive ingredients in the cocktails that he's making, but this happens to be one of the ones that he supposedly put together, although there's a couple other people who might actually end up claiming it.
Well,
at
don't
some point
tell us
time.
What's in it yet, because we want to tease our guests, because this is our
oh,
weekly
yes.
Wet
oh,
Your
yeah.
Whistle in the fourth segment.
Oh, I'm not saying anything.
I'm thinking French Polynesia, like, you know, because there were a lot of missionaries trying to convert over there. So I'm thinking French Polynesian girls, rum, and missionary downfall. I think that kind of segues
go.
Very nicely, don't you? There's a lot of missionaries out there going, damn, figured it out.
Yeah, and maybe this was the vehicle that led them to do things that maybe they shouldn't have.
Yeah, but, you know, there might be a lot of cute little white Polynesian babies over there that never went to seminary.
I'm sure there are.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Zach and Chef Bob Tam, and he's going to talk a lot, right, Bob?
Yes.
Perfect. This is Heidi
Good
Lee.
Start.
You're Into the Soup. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. My rock and radio redhead, Emily King, is here with me at Bitter and Twisted in downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeehaw!
Woohoo! We are here with, nice to meet you, Executive Chef Bob Tam.
Hello.
Hi. I heard you were a bit of a cuddly panda bear.
Yeah, I guess you can say so.
Are you? But your Facebook avatar looks like you're, like, pissed off panda bear.
The panda that you actually see on there was it's from a clothing company in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of a pop. Oh, it's something when I throughout my travels I saw it in this mall, and yeah. You know, okay, you remember Louis Vuitton?
Sure.
Okay, when they had the Murakami do those funny bags with the weird anime stuff.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, they're in China, like you'll see like these giant pandas in these clothing stores, and I thought it was like one of the coolest things ever. And I had no idea it was like a clothing company, and I found out it was, and I just thought it was like this cool thing that kind of represented what is, I guess you can say, what is now, what China's representing.
Okay.
And it kind of represents me.
Are you from China originally?
I'm actually from Hong Kong.
You're from Hong Kong.
I was born in Hong Kong.
Okay, very nice. Yeah. And when did you immigrate to the United States?
I came to San Francisco, actually, when I was 6 years old. We immigrated.
All right. That's very nice. And you were all worried about your English. I don't think you have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I came at the right age. Like, yeah. If I would have immigrated, like 2 years later, I would have an accent.
Oh, really?
Would have to work a lot harder.
You have
at
a little
it,
bit
yeah.
of one. So, ni hao.
Huh?
Ni hao.
No, well, 不知道.
Oh, 不知道. Oh, sorry. Wrong one.
Oh, 广东话, I'm going to say.
Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah. You can say anything you want in that, in Chinese. That's
oh,
all.
Yeah. So, you could do the seven dirty words.
Yeah.
But as long as you do it. So, it's can't. Is it Cantonese?
Diu hai mat dou ta. San hai.
And everybody's offended who understands that. Fantastic.
I love it. So have you guys, okay, so Zach and you and then Ross,
mm-hmm.
have you all been together before? Did you start this adventure together?
We kind of, actually I met Ross literally like months before. Actually, it was a few months before we started even getting into this project.
Okay.
So we met mostly through the project. You know,
okay.
I was looking for the right person to kind of build a bar with, you know.
And did Chris Osborne, was he one of the guys that helped you guys locate this spot?
We're mutual friends, though. But
okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. Okay. So where have you chefed before here in the Valley?
In the Valley? I used to...
Or any place else that's going to impress me.
I was actually recruited out of San Francisco.
Oh, were you really?
For P.F. Chang's here.
Okay.
So I haven't really chefed that many places here. I've actually consulted more or just helped friends open up places here more than anything else. And I was here, I moved here in like 2001.
Okay.
For P.F. Chang's, and then I've been here ever since, just, you know.
So are you digging being back of the house and doing the menu development and all
yes,
this kind
yes.
of stuff? Okay.
There's nothing like getting paid to play.
Amen. I mean,
that's basically what that's all really R&D really is. Trying to figure out, hey, what's this? What's that made out of? Hey, wait. They're making something really good out in New York. Oh my God, I think I gotta go try it. It's a rough trip, but you know.
Oh, someone's gotta do it, right?
You know what I mean, those are the kind of things that basically, like, it's sort of like, there's nothing else like it. For example, having a American Express, you know, having corporate cards and all of that. No.
You should get one of those personalized American Express that has that panda thing on it.
Yeah, I know.
That would be really cool.
I know, you could do that nowadays.
Have you heard about that new market that's opening up in Mesa?
Yes.
That's like 20,000. Dominic Armato's peeing his pants talking about that place.
It opened today.
Oh, did it open
today? I'm going to go on Monday.
Okay, right on. Right on. You're going to have a lot of fun there.
Clumian. Hello.
Oh, it's a new, it's this new international market that's like Costco-sized.
Nice.
Yeah, but you can't buy SpaghettiOs. You know, or Campbell's soup or anything like that. So they've got like...
They might have Cuban SpaghettiOs. You never know.
Well, they might now. That Fair Trade Act's coming closer and closer. So let's not leave Zach out. So what is your job here?
So I manage...
He's like, I don't know.
I'm more of the operations manager. I manage a lot of the front of house. Do a lot of the unexciting portions of what it takes to run this business, I'd say. A lot of numbers, a lot of keeping the money in flow here and making sure
exciting.
To some extent, sure.
Yeah, but don't you
trying to make sure that everyone who walks through this door is having a great experience, leaves happy, and that all the right things are in the right places at the right time.
So are you, like, you? I saw you outside with people when I came in, so are you a meet and greeter and a see you later guy? And
I do all that, and I monitor the floor, I help them behind the bar, I close up shop and make sure that all the money's accounted for. I do a lot of the technical aspects, dealing with the point of sale system. I do.
Yeah, that is kind of the boring stuff.
Yeah,
but do
you
like it?
Oh yeah, no. I have a lot of time on the
you
floor
guys
here
are
with
also
the guests.
Young.
Yeah.
It's like wow. It's like that's you know you need
you
the
have
energy to
be
take
young
it on.
We just look that way.
Yeah.
You have a magic drug.
We're
it must
preserved.
Be this missionary
well.
Downfall, maybe.
That's what it is. Yeah. We're preserving ourselves.
Asian genes. We all look young.
Lucky.
Did you have a question? You were going to say something.
I was just making a general statement. Like, you have to be young to get in this game, and you have to have the energy to do it. It's relentless, and, like, I've been there.
Yeah, we've both done it.
I've opened restaurants, been on the operations side, been in back of the house, and
so were you
tough.
The one that kind of came, Zach came up with some of the ideas for your website? Because I'll tell you what, I had more fun poking around in that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
That was such a blast. So I don't know who you're supposed to be. You look like you're supposed to be Confucius, Bob.
You're not that smart.
I know, but that is a picture of Confucius, is it not?
I'm not
I believe
sure.
that it is. I was going to Google image it, but I didn't have time. You look like Tecumseh Sherman.
It could be Fu Manchu.
Like Sherman's March. We're getting there. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, so the website is actually a pet project of Ross's.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something
check
he's
out Emily.
Yeah, it's something he's really gotten into.
Nice.
It's actually very, very well designed. It's absolutely engaging is what it is. That's why I can sit there and play with it forever. And so there's pictures, they are not pictures of you, but then there's a description of what you do and who you are and a little bit of your background. That's where Cuddly Panda came in. You're the, I don't care how many times I had to help old ladies across the street, I'm going to come in and close. And then Ross is kind of like, I'm going to tantalize your taste buds with any kind of concoction I can come up with. You can't understand a word he said because he's Scottish.
That's right. He speaks the Queen's English.
The Queen's English. And apparently he can't spell very
well. Yes, he also writes the Queen's English or some version of it.
Well, it sounds like you guys are a good team.
And what is that website that people can go visit?
Bitter and Twisted AZ, right?
BitterandTwistedAZ.com.
All right.
Excellent.
And when you open it up, the other thing that kind of turned me on and made me go, oh, my God, I'm 14.
Are you sure you're looking at the right website?
Yeah. It just totally dated myself. Was the A-team.
Just checking. Phrasing.
Oh, thank you so much. The A-team? Okay, so why is the A-team on the homepage of your website? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
like, not at all.
Spin,
nope.
Spin.
Not a pin. Well,
what's the A team? No, I joke.
I can tell you. I am DB.
So, is Bob Mr. T? Like, how does, well, no,
Mr.
I'd say that,
BA, like I said. Bad attitude or bad, that's what I think.
So, like I said, the website is definitely a pet project of Ross's. He gets some fun little ideas and throws some things on there. Some of them quite silly sometimes, some of them very well thought out, surprisingly so. And I'd say the A-Team is, it's more like a, obviously, you know, people say, oh, they got their A-Team. You know, it's like the top of the line people.
That's why I think segued from team. I think that it becomes very apparent sitting and talking to you guys.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely something that we're focused on is being very team-centric. We're definitely trying to bring the best and be the best and all work together in a way that complements each other. So I think that that's just kind of a nod to what we're we're going towards, you know,
what
we're trying to be.
What about your team in the back of the house, Bob?
Well,
so someone comes in, interviews with you. They've got a fairly impressive resume. What two questions do you ask them to see whether or not they're going to make it?
Why are you here?
Yeah. Really?
How did you get back here?
That's the first thing, yeah.
My first question.
Who let you in? So what's okay, so instead of a winning answer, what answer do you get that makes you go, yep, no, you're not coming?
Well, generally, I'd look for more of an attitude more than anything else. Someone with a positive attitude. But to be honest with you, interviews don't really... They don't mean anything. Anybody could try to, you know, pretend to be
and
this type of person.
And BS their way through it, sure.
It doesn't, whether we, at least for here, whether we realize that this is kind of a small, close-knit group, we really kind of treat each other like family. I mean, we actually do spend time outside of work. Quality time. You know,
really?
We go shopping. We go to the movies
together. Shopping.
each other's hair.
You're taking to Mesa with you on Monday. That's
exactly. We're actually planning to go on to Mesa together on Monday.
Awesome.
Like, we're gonna drive out there and like, hey, let's go shopping. Let's go buy some fun stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, we've done a lot of group barbecues and all sorts of fun stuff to try and get everybody involved and together. Bob's absolutely right. This is like home away from home. We spend a lot of time here, and we want the people here to feel comfortable. We want them to, you know, feel like it's a place that they can grow and be friends and really look out for each other.
Well, and that's a huge business culture thing that some people, you know, the old school boys and girls don't envelop and accept. But if they don't, then they lose everybody because that's what these young people are looking for. And, I mean, I talk to chefs all the time. And they're saying, I can't find good help. It's like, how are you treating them? You know, it's like, I can't find good cooks to stay. And it's like, well, are you teaching them? You know, are you bringing them in under your wing? And so let me go back to culinary side of it just for a minute. Did you go to culinary school, Bob?
Yes.
Where'd
culinary
you go?
School in San Francisco. City College in San Francisco.
Right,
they have they have the very first two-year program.
Was it good?
In the West Coast. It was, yeah. It
worked
was
for you?
It worked for me. Definitely. I mean, it is an old school.
Yeah.
But again, it's more, I feel like it's the people that are going to go to City College as opposed to some like SCI or
CIA,
CIA
Johnson or Wales,
yeah, something like that, where you literally have to, one, be able to afford it. And what I realize is like most of the people, especially initially when I started hiring people, the people that I hire out of in San Francisco, and when I was, in San Francisco, or CCA, the people I would hire out of CCA compared to the people I would hire out of, City College, I mean, it was a huge difference in work ethic alone. I mean, it was just like, are you kidding? I mean, I would see guys coming out of, one of the more expensive schools, they literally stand around, spin bowls when they're bored.
I've got time to lean. You got time to clean.
They're just so used to not having to work hard for things. They're used to things being handed to them because they can afford it.
Right.
I mean,
it's going to be an age-old argument until the land of culinary school changes, which
exactly.
It is changing, and it's changing very rapidly. So I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk some more. We're going to do a soup of the week, so you're going to have to pull one out of your Bob. He's like, what?
Soup of the week.
What is that?
Soup of the week. I'll tell you when we go on break.
Where does it have to come out of?
Your head.
Wherever you want it to.
Store in Mesa. Okay. This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We'll be right back. We're at Bitter and Twisted. Woohoo!
Ooh, grooving out.
Are we set?
Yeah.
Nice. Hi, Emily.
Hey.
You good?
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun.
I'm just digging this music.
We're halfway through. I know. Isn't this great? It's like, okay, where's the disco ball?
Whose iPod is this?
In case you don't know where you are or what you're listening to, this is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup. We decided to give Executive Chef Bob Tam a little while to stew. Sorry.
Oh.
On a potential soup of the week. So we're going to go straight into the weekly Wet Your Whistle. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10. Shift 10% of your spending to a locally owned business and support our community and our economy. Our weekly wet is straight from Polynesia and Don the Beachcomber.
That's correct.
The Missionary Downfall. And what is in this little beauty that I'm enjoying so immensely?
Yeah, so.
Get off your phone and pay attention.
This wonderful
it's like
concoction
it's Tinder.
Here.
Come on.
Yeah, you got to get your Tinder up to date. Come on now. So, this wonderful cocktail
is a wonderful cocktail.
Yeah, it's a fantastic one. It's kind of an offshoot of a piña colada, I'd say. There is pineapple juice in this cocktail. There's also white rum in this cocktail. In addition to that, there's actually a peach liqueur in it, as well as...
Is that the creme de pêche?
That is correct.
Okay.
So, most people would use, say, like a peach schnapps or something like that. However, we're using a wonderful, wonderful French liqueur, creme de pêche. And it really, really shines in this cocktail.
It does. And it has, you know what I like about the fact that that doesn't, it's not overly sweet. Because if you're looking at pineapple juice,
yes.
And it also has cane syrup in it.
That's correct. Just a touch of cane syrup there. Obviously, we do want a little bit of sweetness there, but it's actually balanced out by some nice lime juice there. So, of course, that adds to the acidity and a little touch of bitterness to it to kind of balance out the sweetness that you're going to get from the cane syrup, the pineapple juice, and the creme de pêche.
And then it's blended.
And it is blended alongside a few mint leaves here and there.
Here and there.
Yeah, you know, which really gives it this great herbaceousness as well as, you know, that exotic fruit from the pineapple as well as like a nice stone fruit from the peach.
Exotic fruits.
Pretty cool layers of flavor there.
Okay, Bob, pick a number between 1 and 19.
19.
Oh, nice. Okay, Zach, pick a number between 1 and don't look at the list, 1 and 38.
1.
Oh, this is kind of fun. Okay, so if you weren't here, I went in thesaurus, bitter, and twisted. So bitter, all the, you know, fun little synonyms that are, 19 is vinegary, and 1 is crooked. So it's vinegary crooked. Not too bad. I was hoping it was going to be vinegary curve. You just don't know exactly where you're going to go with
so that. So alternate name game here?
I don't think of vinegar as bitter exactly.
Well, I think it depends on the
like
vinegar.
Like acidic.
Yeah, acidic. Definitely. Well, although some people think of bitter as acidity. Lime juice.
And they're wrong. And I'm just going to say it.
This music makes me feel like I'm at Skate Town. Freaking love it.
Duck Hunt.
Okay, so let's go back to some other stuff. So how long have you been here? I'm so sorry. I don't know the answer to that question.
So we actually opened to the public May 23rd of 2014. So we're actually coming up on 2 years here. We did a little bit of soft opening for some friends and family just prior to that.
Kind of trying things out, shaking out the recipe.
Yeah. Official opening, though, May 23rd, 2014.
Nice. Congratulations.
Cool. Thank you.
How's
Do you have anything planned?
Things have been actually really good. You know, from the moment we opened the doors, we had some really warm welcomes into the community. And the business just keeps growing, and we're just finding new ways to bring people in. And, you know, honestly, we're in such an amazing location that, you know, I feel that with downtown growing the way it is, you you're really just
on the
bound.
Light rail too.
Yeah, you're really sweet. Just bound to get more and more people walking through this door as Phoenix is building up really around us, to be honest.
That's very cool. And I know that not only Ross's you know, amazing bartending skills, but I also know your menu, Bob, has gotten a lot of acclaim. Why do you think that is, and what do you like? Are you a fusion cooking person?
It's all luck.
I've been doing
food for like 25 years. So okay. I mean, I've been very, very passionate about, well, definitely Asian food for a long, ever since I can remember. So,
right.
So obviously that's why there's a lot of Asian influence in here. But you know, I love all different types of food. So,
I saw your fried chicken post the other day. I almost fell out of my chair because I was looking at the website at the same time, and I'm like, wow. So do they give you pretty much free reign back there, and you just get to kind of?
Well, me and Ross really work on the menu together.
Oh, do you? Awesome.
We really do collaborate on it. I always have them taste. I don't feel like food should be one note in that sense where I'm only cooking for myself. I cook for myself the way I like it, you know. But I also want to introduce that to people. And I think that's what the love of being a chef, you know, that's what drives most chefs, because they really do want to share their, you know, I think this is amazing. I want you to try this.
Will you please try this, and I hope you like it.
Yeah. What do you think of it? What do you think? It's like, I don't think I have enough of an ego to go, hey, no, this isn't right. I'm not going to listen to you, you know.
Right.
I always, like, hey, I welcome feedback.
Do you get it from your guests?
It makes the food better.
Sure, it does.
You know, I can literally name 4 to 5 different menu items that are on the menu that has either evolved here or has evolved since I was like 19.
Cool.
You know, the betel nut, for example, literally I've been making that dish since I was 20 years old.
Okay, so what's betel nut? Tell us what the betel nut is.
The betel nut, pork belly. It's a pork belly. Oh, okay. Well, actually, it started out as a rib dish.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it was Cecilia Chang, which is the mom of Philip Chang, which is the Chang of P.F. Chang.
Okay.
Okay. She actually worked on that dish with the chef that was at Betel Nut in San Francisco.
Okay.
Which is the place that I first interned,
when I graduated. All right, cool.
And that dish was meant to be a Taiwanese version of 3-cup chicken or 3-cup pork.
Okay.
They were trying to make 3-cup, and then they made this variation of it that just really, in a way, really doesn't taste like 3-cup because it doesn't have 1 cup of this, 1 cup of that, 1 cup of that. It's a own variation of it, and I've been using this recipe over, and now we literally are going to change it like next week. And
we're
actually adding buns to that particular. We changed it from short ribs to pork belly, and now we're like, well, belly buns.
Is that what you're going to call it, belly buns?
Yeah, betel nut belly buns. So it just makes, you know, that's the evolution of some of the dishes, and it's an exciting thing to see, you know.
I love it. That's fantastic. So what's your favorite thing on the dish? What's your favorite dish on the thing, Zach?
So this new evolution of the pork belly is fantastic. I'm definitely a huge fan of it. The fish and chips that we do, honestly, is really out of sight. To not be a pub, to be more of a cocktail lounge, and to do very different style food than most other bars, and yet to be able to pull off the fish and chips that we do and give every pub in town a run for its money,
nice.
I think is really cool. It's very exciting. There's really so much good food on the menu, though. It's hard to choose just one.
Dumpling burger.
A dumpling burger.
I need you to explain that to me because I love dumplings.
It was Ross's idea at first. And Ross just came up to me and said, "Hey, can you make a burger like a dumpling?" You know, and he just came up with just the idea. I was like, "Oh, can I? Oh yeah, that's a softball."
it's like those soup dumplings.
It's just like we're simpatico in that sense. Like literally the week before, you know, like I was at some other place eating a burger, and they were using English muffins, and I was looking at the English muffin and going, you know what? That looks just like Shenzhen Bao in Shanghai. You know, when you pan fry a dumpling, it looks exactly like that.
Okay.
And I was like, I bet you that would make a really cool burger. And then literally the next week, you know, he's like, hey, can you make? I was like, no, I have this really cool idea. I was using it. But first, I literally tried to make him the Shenzhen Bao first so he can see, you know, at least what my target was, you know. And then I start, and then I started showing him the evolution of how to Americanize it. And that's where the idea, because we used to, you know, back in the day when we were, what was that, Beetle Nut, we literally did like 3,000 dumplings a day. Every single one was handmade, wrappers, filling,
wow.
Everything. So, I mean,
will you teach me how to do that?
It's really hard. When I first started learning them, it took me a long time to figure it out. And
I want to learn how to make the dough.
You literally wish you had like smaller fingers because it's so hard to do those little pinches. Like, because I have like little nubby fingers, and I was like, oh my God, this is impossible.
I want to learn how to make jiao ling bao. I can make jiao ling bao, so little soup dumplings, right?
I can show you how. It's not that hard.
I can make the pork filling.
It's the wrap is the hardest part.
I mean, jiao ling bao turns me on more than your website.
The right flour, too. It's got to be a really low-gluten, super-bleached white flour.
Okay.
Chances are, we'll go to the international market.
Can I come to you on Monday?
It's a specific type of flour that you have to use. Or else you'll never get that kind of soft, silky kind of wrapper.
Right, where you don't have to chew through it.
Yeah, like a pot sticker wrapper, you know, where it's like nice and tough.
I tried so many times to make those, and I was just like, okay, epic fail. I mean, I can bring my chicken stock down to a gelée. That's not a problem. And make my pork filling and all that kind of stuff, but it was that damn dough, and I'm just like,
It's the flour. If you don't get the only one that I know of that works here in the States is, at least the ones that I've used here is the Hong Kong rose flour.
Hong Kong rose flour.
There's a rose on the and there's fakes too.
Have you?
Yeah. Okay. I think they have it at Ranch Market. Yeah. I want to say. Yeah.
Oh, they might.
That's the only one that works.
I want you to take pictures of your shopping cart when you go to the international store in Mesa, and let me see what you get when you do that, and post them on Facebook.
Post it up.
We love it. I'm looking through my stuff, and I'm kind of running out. Anybody want to jump in? Oh, so are you going to have a celebration of any kind for your 2-year?
So, our 2-year actually. Probably not a huge sort of anniversary party. We're kind of holding out, waiting to do like a big 5-year. That's our real plan.
Out for a big boy. That's an optimistic group of people. Like already said, we're
going to
take
my staff to Durant's.
Yeah,
and we're going to have steaks.
Nice.
And martinis.
That sounds nice.
Awesome. And you guys can party on here because I'm not going to be around.
We actually do a little release to some. Media groups and things here in town right around the release of our new menu. So for anniversary, we actually put out a new menu, new menu design, some new cocktails, some old favorites. And this new one coming up is actually, it's incredibly cool.
And when is that coming out?
So we're going to start that up actually at the very beginning of May. We're going to do the new cocktail
menu.
That's
not very far off.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. And then actually towards the end of May, beginning of June, usually Comic-Con is here in town. So we actually try and throw a big Comic-Con party. No joke.
It's at the convention center right down the street.
You're like, are you wearing a tail? Come here.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. You know, it's a lot of fun. People dress
it's
up.
It's permanent.
They have a good time. And it does fall right around our anniversary. So why not? You know, just combine the two, have a good time, get weird with it.
Get weird, get jiggy with it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm totally going to come. Hey, that actually kind of brings me to a question. I was wondering how often, you know, your menu's excellent. It is, it's like simple. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of excess. It's no Cheesecake Factory menu. Mm-hmm. So how
Thank
often
God.
Do you change it up?
I actually don't change it up that often. We modify and we make additions. Sooner or later, we're going to have to start swapping out some stuff just so we can introduce new things.
Right.
But for example, right now we're very fortunate to that next month, I think starting in June, we'll be doing the Daring Dining thing with Dominic.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
He's such a great addition to the food landscape here.
Yeah. I used to be on his Phoenix Food. That's how I knew all
of them. Oh, is that right?
That's how Christina and all
okay,
those.
Okay,
yeah. That's how I kind of knew most of those
she,
guys.
Oh,
yeah.
She was going to make it. She's sick. She's afraid she might have gotten food poisoning somewhere.
Oh, no.
Well, that's sacrilege.
We won't
Why?
Talk about it. Hey,
no.
Oh, I lost
Probably
my
her.
Question. My train
what?
Of thought just ran into the
you
ground
sound like
right
me.
Now.
Oh, it's
yes.
changing. No, the menu.
What is the other question? What is this dinner and or the dining thing that we were just talking about for those of us who are not in the
have
know?
Him tell you,
I will.
Bob knows it.
So he called me up. Dominic gave me a call. And he said, hey, there's this thing, you know, you might want to be involved with. I think it's very cool. I think it's going to be right up your alley. And he said, well, basically, this is how it goes. I believe that chefs out there have these ideas of the food that they or they
it's like
have
how
these
far
ideas.
You can go.
Yeah. Well, they have these foods that they want to do. And then there's foods that they know that they have to do to please the public. The foods that they want to do are probably not the kind of things that you would see on the menu very often. And those are the kind of things I want. I want you guys the perfect opportunity. I will come down. I will market it. I will sell tickets with you. And I just want you to do what you feel like is, I mean, this is what really represents you. And this is what's cool to you. What you think would be amazing if you just have the opportunity to show people. So
it's
for
like
me,
liberty,
yeah.
I'm all over
you know,
that. That's
like,
so cool.
Well, the first one he did was Matthew,
it's
right?
Dangerous.
Out at Gertrude's.
That's so cool.
It's only if you have a permanent tail.
What do you think you're? I mean, are you? I know that you.
No, I basically I was like, really? Oh, I'm gonna put century eggs, which is something that people think are, like. They freak out the smell of it, the whatever you know, the look
Tell
of it.
Tell everybody what century
yeah.
eggs are. In
they're
case don't
they're
know.
Basically. Eggs that are buried in a type of ash where it basically ferments the eggs where they're like blackish and there's like you have
yeah,
to see
don't
it. Yeah,
but a lot of them actually have an embryo in them too.
No, they do not.
Do
I'm not.
Know,
they
do
not. I'm not. That's more. That's balut
that's
or
balut.
Habilong.
Oh, that's
balut.
Okay, sorry.
Wait, yeah. Is this like a raw egg that's buried or do you hard boil it first or?
Oh, no.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure what I don't know what the method is
of raw.
Making them. They're not raw anymore.
No.
By the time when you peel them, yeah, they're like hard-boiled eggs. By the time you peel them, but they're the closest equivalent to what China has to offer as cheese. They're like it's pungent like that. Like if you like stinky cheese, you would appreciate or if you ever been to you know how like they call them sulfur eggs, right? Where the mineral have them in the springs and stuff like that, and you go in that area and they're the closest
it
thing
like
to
a rotten egg.
Yeah, but they taste like the most intense egg you ever had. It's that times 10. Uh-huh. Basically, is basically what it is. So,
who came up with this idea? Like, I always wonder. No, not this. The century eggs. Yeah, did somebody dig them up at one point?
Accident, like everything else.
Secret.
Someone made a mistake.
They're like, we found these under the barn.
Someone said, "Oh crap! What is this? Here, you eat it."
Hey, Mikey. Mikey, you'll eat anything. How much time do we have left in this segment, sweetie?
Just a few minutes to wrap it up.
Okay.
And then we'll
All
touch
right,
on
so
her.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back and we'll see if we can pull a soup out of Bob. If not, we'll figure something out. And we've got some really neat announcements to make for some upcoming events. We'll spend some more time with the guys from Bitter and Twisted. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Don't touch that dial. All hail, Brother Ho. Yeah.
I had to get that in there.
A little homage to Chef Bob Tam. And apparently he doesn't think he's Confucius on the website. He thinks it's Brother Ho. So anyway, our Soup of the Week is brought to you by Grey Tie Events. Culinary entertainment exclusively for women prepared by men. Yeah, chew on that. You want to come and join and work for me, don't you? Chew on that one for a minute.
Yes.
Yes, you do. It's so much fun. So, Grey Tie Events, we provide a unique dining experience for you and your friends. So, So invite your besties over, gather around the island, and prepare to be pampered. Our team of talented chefs were handpicked and had to actually audition. They bring the party to you and tailor the menu to your tastes. Their goal is for every client to leave a Grey Thai event feeling perfectly pampered and utterly adored. Visit greythaievents.com or call 602-738-2665. Did I just give out my cell number?
Holy crap.
Dang. And she got another call.
There we go. Yeah, Grey Thai Events. No male chefs were heard in the making of this commercial. The use of Velcro boomboxes and inappropriate clientele fraternization are not allowed. Insured by the Hartford and a very large, imposing bouncer.
I like Emily's the adjectives that get added.
I know,
every
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Okay, so our soup of the week is direct from the kitchen of Chef Bob Tam. What do you got for me?
Since we were talking about Century Eggs, one of the things that actually I was recently back in, went home to San Francisco and actually spent some time in San Francisco, and I haven't been there in like 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
One of the things I craved was Pei Dan Cao You Zhou, which is century eggs and pork and in porridge. Very, very simple.
Oh, cool.
Kind of, I've probably been eating it since I could ever remember.
Okay. You know?
But it's a very, very popular Hong Kong Cantonese thing.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
That's extremely, we've never had a porridge.
Huh?
In the years I've been running this site and doing Soups of the Week, we've never had a porridge. So
yeah,
that would
I've
be
never
fantastic.
Actually, now I think about it, I've never even actually had it in Arizona.
Now,
there's no places to get it. So
I was
going to
say, where
make
can we get
no,
Century no Eggs fries?
Oh, yeah. Them,
Safeway?
They definitely have a pretty much at every Asian market. I've seen them.
Have you?
Different brands, yeah.
Okay.
The ones I've been using, they're called Kindly. They're Kindly Eggs.
Kindly
That's
eggs.
The brand.
Kindly.
So
oh,
those
I
work.
I love it.
They've had a lot of time to yes. mellow out, so they're yes. kind.
Okay, so all you guys have to do at the very end of this sentence is sing.com, okay?
Sing? So, what, sing,
sing
it?
It? Yeah, sing it. Yep. But we'll all sing it so you won't even hear it. So
You
can
can't
find,
make me.
Well, I probably can't. It would be awfully kind of no. you.
I feel like it's going to sound good. I'm an alto.
I think. Oh,
we've
you
got
know,
Bob is
I think
definitely.
He's Vitaly,
like
he's do a falsetto.
Bass.
I've got it in him, though. No, I think he's got it. Just like pinch him when we do it. Ready? Okay, right. So you can find all of our recipes for our weekly Wet Your Whistle and our Soup of the Week at IntoTheSoup.com. That was pretty
solid
good.
Solid alto.
Not mm-hmm. bad. Okay, so we have a couple of events that we need to talk about. On April 29th, Pino's Palette Fundraiser for Joy Bus Diner and Jennifer Caraway. Tickets are $45 a piece. You're painting with Pino, one of my favorite nicknames.
Don't say a word, Emily.
I'll be there with a couple of friends of mine. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll get your ticket. Mm-hmm. And it's supporting Joy Bus Diner, which supplies healthy, nutritious food to homebound cancer patients. And they just opened up a brick and mortar over by Bootleggers on Shea and 33rd Street. And so we are very happy to support them. And Jennifer is just the coolest chick ever. I totally dig her. May 17th, there's a craft beer tasting and pairing hosted by the Small Matters Institute and Artisan Food Guild, excuse me, benefiting CCAP, which is Careers for Culinary Arts Program. It's at 23rd Avenue and Dunlap. Tickets are $35 and $60 for two of them. And Chef Frank Caputo is an amazing chef, and he will be doing some lovely pairings to go with, and I don't know this term, but you guys might, Cicerone Scott Casey. Apparently a Cicerone is a sommelier of beer.
That's correct.
Oh.
Did you know that, Bob?
I've never heard that before.
What is it called a Cicerone?
Why is a sommelier called a sommelier?
That's a good question. Get out of here.
Which one are you on the A-team?
I mean, I don't honestly know the history behind why it's called a Cicerone, but yes, Cicerone is basically a sommelier of beer.
Okay, cool. I actually just kind of overheard that today. I didn't know if it was true, so thank you for confirming. You can get tickets and go through IntoTheSoup.com to find all of these things. That's
you took okay.
care
of that one
I'll just do that one for us. And I wanted to make a little kind of soft announcement that I am now it's funny, they call me the Culinary Resource Specialist at CCAP of Arizona. So I just started with them this week, working with a very dear friend of mine and colleague, Jill Smith. And so we're really excited about that and looking forward to creating some more events, working with the kids, staying in culinary education, which is very near and dear to my heart. So, woohoo!
Awesome.
Yay! That's-
Okay, so where else do you want to go? What else would you like to talk about? Anything? Throw it out there. Go ahead. Come on, dude. You've been doing so well.
Do you
well.
Have any pets?
Yep. There you go.
Ooh.
I have a tremendous cat problem.
You and me both. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob's got some property over in Mesa.
Just infested with
There's
cats.
A lot of recipes, though. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, he's got good humor.
We gotta start getting some of those. Seriously, do you have a pet?
No, actually, I did grow up with a bunch of cats, though. Which is horrible. It was horrible. And I don't remember this, but like my sister would tell me that, you know, when we were kids, you would torture the crap out of cats all the time.
Really?
I was like, I don't remember. It's like, that maybe that's why I'm allergic to cats now. they're just getting back at me now.
Just wait.
Do you have any pets?
I do, actually. I have two little Maltese.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you
little
dress
little
them
pups.
Up?
Name?
And, you know, I wouldn't
oh,
say
you
that.
Oh, did you say you kind of got all cornfields?
My pride and joy.
Day.
Well, no, the wife has definitely dressed them up a time or two. Mostly like sweaters and stuff like that when it's gotten
sweaters.
Cold out. Yeah.
Well,
they're little guys,
or
you know.
Thong.
What are their names?
Yeah, nothing quite like that. Lulu and Chloe.
Okay. Did you name them?
Tyler?
Two,
sounds
and,
like you did.
Two and eight.
Tyler's cat's name is Mango.
Mango?
Who's Tyler?
He's one of the cooks.
Oh, really?
He's like super attached to his cat for some reason.
Really?
Like the cat like kicks him out of his room and stuff.
Oh.
I just think it's kind of funny that his cat's name is Mango.
Yeah. Mango runs the house over at Tyler's place.
Does Ross have any pets?
Ross does, actually. He's got a very old cat. Called Mr. Hendrix, which apparently they just found out was a girl. After
was it just like really
it.
Obese? Or
I'm not entirely
or
sure.
Or hairy, because it's hard to find.
Not entirely sure
I mean,
how
you really
that works.
Have to look to find out what sex a cat is.
Yeah, the kittens today. I was challenged. I was like, I don't know.
Why,
maybe
why
this
did you
is...
feel the need to gender identify?
Because I was thinking about keeping one.
Oh God, Emily.
And I was like, I need a girl.
I have a friend of mine who had a cat that he thought was a girl, called her Sheila. And this cat followed him everywhere. And he was just like, you know, one of those
Hello,
guys
Sheila.
Who was just like, yeah, my cat loves me. It's a girl. And then he took it to the vet. And this cat's like 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hendrix is like 20.
Dude.
How do you? I don't know. I don't know how you
I know,
don't
I mean,
know.
It really kind of shocked him personally with like a self-esteem issue. I'm like, dude, it's a cat. I don't know. But he would stalk him. He'd go for a nightly walk, and the cat would follow him. It was like a cartoon. And when he'd turn around and look, the cat would hide behind a shrub. It was hysterical.
That's fantastic.
Cats are a trip. I have a cat. I don't like cats
Your cat's
either.
A jerk.
My cat's an asshole.
He really is.
Yeah, if you're sitting there on the couch and you don't play with him, he comes up behind you and smacks you on the side of the
yep.
head.
And any pictures you take of him, he looks so angry.
I
like
know,
if he had a middle finger, it would be up.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
totally would be.
For sure.
This is a really cool place. I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I love when people, you know, did you feel like you were taking a chance when you opened it? Or were you just like, yeah, we're solid?
I'd say this industry, you're always taking a chance. You never really know. Exactly what people are looking for and where they're looking for it. Amazing restaurants and bars have closed all over the world and, you know, seemingly great locations.
Right.
So it's always definitely a challenge, but, you know, you got to keep at it for sure.
Do you love it?
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't be in this business if, you know, we didn't love it. Ross, myself, Bob, we've all been doing this kind of stuff a very long time. So
you love it, Bob?
Oh yeah, I love it.
That's
and
cool.
I have very little doubt.
You know, when you were coming into it.
When I met Ross and I saw the business plan that he had and his vision and his passion, I had very little doubt it was going to succeed.
It's a really cool space. I mean, it's industrial and sexy all at the same time. You know, so whoever did your design and I mean that big, huge, you know, bitter and twisted. It's just, it's enticing. It's enticing. The menu is Ross's idea of cocktails. And what did he say so that we can inspire you to find your own favorite little tipple? Mm. And I'm like, what a great line. That seriously is on the webpage. Okay, everybody has to go to bitterandtwisted.com. bitterandtwistedaz.com right now. If you crash it, I'll give you $10. I'm kidding.
And new cocktail menu, May 3rd. Come in May 3rd. Check out the new cocktail menu.
We will. We're going to bring some friends down here. And so, just so you know, they are right on the light rail. And when I came down, I was like, I knew where you were, but I didn't know what parking was around it. But if you're coming down Jefferson heading east, if you head south on First Avenue, there's that parking garage right there. It's called the Lures Building. And then right across the street, there's a CVS as well. So there's plenty of parking down here. Street parking's kind of tough in this area, but the parking garages are, everywhere.
You don't want to come down here and park and have a few drinks, though, anyways. You want to ride
That's
the light
right.
rail if at all possible.
Good idea.
There's quite a few stops around us, honestly. Jefferson is great because there are two stops within a block from us, and then up on Washington, if you're going the other direction, it's like a block and a half away from us. So.
Cool. Unfortunately, I don't have that option as I live in the Northwest Valley. So
I do.
We're definitely. I'm pretty sure we're the only bar in Phoenix that has the light rail flying by its windows on a regular basis. Maybe even the only bar in the country to have the train just pass right by
That's
you.
That's pretty cool.
So. That is cool.
That's really, really cool. I love it. And it really is a really great space. And I love the music. It's eclectic, but it's fun. It hits a home. And I love the fact that it's. When I read again reviews on this, that it's a you guys have it's not like it's a neighborhood bar, but it's not, because you're taking chances with your food, you take chances with your cocktails, you put it out there. You have to have a lot of ingredients on hand to make a lot of these things. Okay, number one item on the menu, what do you think it is?
It's definitely the dumpling burger.
Is it the dumpling burger?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna come in next time and I get to have a dumpling burger. And you're going to show me how to make that dough, which would be so awesome.
Before we go, I just want to throw in my two cents about these olives that I was warned about before I got my martini tonight.
Okay.
That's right, gin martini. That's the only way to drink it. And the olives are fantastic. Just
we know what kind of olives
yes,
they are.
Yes, Castelvetrano.
Told you, the ones we had before.
Yeah, wonderful.
It's different
wonderful
for
olive.
A martini. I like it though.
Yeah. Because they're a little they're sultry.
Yeah,
because Castelvetranos, they're really buttery.
Yeah, they're very buttery.
As opposed to just a regular green olive.
That's right, and the brine isn't quite as salty as you'd expect with like a Spanish olive, but amazing product, Castelvetrano, little town, in Sicily, Italy region. So.
Cool. I'm so glad that you know that.
Yeah, well,
it's
my job.
Keep your service educated. Your service was great. The ladies were all very gracious. I mean, everyone behind the bar, you guys were fantastic. It was so fun to meet you both. I love it when you can hit it off without having that first thing. You know, it's just like, yeah, I felt it. This is going to be so fun. I walk in the door, and he just walks out, gives me a big hug, takes my big, huge case off my shoulder, and says, see you in an hour. I'm like, okay, bye. Thank you, Bob.
No, thank you.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, it was a pleasure. We love what we do. Supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. And it's a pleasure to meet people like you that are just as passionate about what you do as we are. And so thank you, Zach.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Yep. Please give Ross our thanks as well. Miss Emily King, thank you, my dear.
No problem.
Always
a
hoot as usual. So I'll be seeing you very soon up in Flag.
Yep.
We're going to do a show with somebody because I promise. So come hell or high water, we'll be doing something up there.
We'll make it happen.
Okay, groovy. Okay, you guys, take care of each other. Take care of yourself. We'll be back next week with, you know what? I really am not sure, and that's the way we like to roll. So peace out. This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup.
It's Timothy Green's first day at school.
Mom, I can handle it from here.
What's in his backpack? He's about to fall
Anything
over.
Anything he might need. There's a box of tissues and Band-Aids. There's a whole first aid kit, actually.
You don't have to be perfect.
Have a great day.
That's too much pressure.
Have the day you have.
To be a perfect parent.
There are two people who want you more than anything. They'll make mistakes, but they will love you more than you can imagine.
There are thousands of children in foster care who will take you just as you are. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.